Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. This is part two of the best products that we could afford for our newborn. And to kick it off, we're going to start with something you may not think of, and it's probably not a super priority that you're thinking about right now, but it's a thermometer. And honestly, we had one heck of a time trying to get a thermometer that was accurate. Now, Jordan didn't really want a rectal thermometer, and if you go that route, I believe that is probably the most accurate way to judge your baby's temperature, but she just did not want to do that. We had a couple different thermometers in the beginning. I'm trying to remember exactly what they were.
The one that we had on our registry was the Frida brand, where it was touchless. It was almost like a little laser temperature reader that you didn't have to put on your skin anywhere. And it was odd. You know, you'd take the temperature and you're like, is that right? It just didn't feel accurate. And I feel like a backstory on these thermometers, before we even had our daughter, we had struggled with finding an accurate thermometer for ourselves. I don't know how many thermometers we bought just to get an accurate reading. So we got the Frida. We thought, okay, this is going to be a good one. We like the brand of other products, but it just, I don't know. I can't really pinpoint what I didn't like about it. It just didn't seem accurate. I think we tried one little sick bout with her with this Frida. And then I think we were both like, we've got to find something that we can trust.
Yeah, it would say, oh, you're good. Oh, you're not good. Oh, you're good. Oh, you're not good. And you could just keep running it for an hour and it'd give you like at least a degree, if not a little over. And so maybe we weren't using it 100% right, but if it's going to be that complicated, I really don't want to mess with it. You went online and did a little research, and we finally found one that works really well for us.
Yeah. I remember seeing one at the doctor's office. I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. It, you know, swipes across their forehead halfway. And I just remember Googling, you know, best thermometers for newborns, most reliable thermometers. And I saw a picture of one that looked like the one at the doctor's office. And so I looked at it a little more, and it was an Exergen, I believe, like Exergen, something around that. And it was actually at our local Walmart. Now, it was about $35, but it had wonderful reviews. It had said it was the most accurate for being a non-rectal thermometer. So I was like, whatever, let's buy it. We need to find something, especially when you're having a newborn. And if they're not feeling well, you want to make sure that you know exactly what temperature there is. So we got it, and we haven't had really any issues with it. We use it ourselves. We use it with her all the time.
Yeah. And it's pretty accurate. Now, there is usually one hotter side of your head than the other that we found with it, but it's really easy to use. There's a bunch of memory functions that we really don't log at all. We just want to take a normal reading. Probably the most frustrating thing about it is try to get it to reset. Sometimes if you hit the button after you've taken a reading, it wants to save it to a memory all the time. And that can be frustrating because then you have to hold the button or you have to click it a couple times, then hold the button to get it to shut off.
And like cycle through.
Yes. And then start back up and start swiping on the head. It has been a long time coming for us to get a good thermometer. Even before we had Carly, we had an ear thermometer. We had a normal under-the-tongue thermometer, and none of them seemed accurate, which, granted, we're getting them at like the local Dollar General. We're not spending a lot of money on it, but it was just always a hassle because it's like, I don't feel good. Do I actually have a fever or do I not? If it's 99 or 101, there's quite a bit of difference there, I feel like. So anyway, that is hands down the best thermometer, and we still use it today.
Yeah, it was definitely worth that $35, hands down.
Yes, definitely gives you a little bit of a relief, especially when you're a little one, you know, when they get sick, things get a little nervous. You get nervous and tension starts building a little bit sometimes. That just puts you a little bit at ease because really easy to use and has been really accurate for us so far. Next one that we want to talk about is a little more on the sound machine side. We did a little bit of looking on a sound machine. We knew we wanted a sound machine, but just didn't quite know 100% what we wanted. And I'm trying to remember, did we have an idea of the one that we got before we were actually doing the registry or not?
I remember hearing of the Hatch, seeing it, you know, but I didn't think, I was like, man, that's kind of expensive. That's really fancy. We don't need anything that fancy. Do you remember when we were at Target and we were registering and there was a lady that had just had a baby and she was with her mom and she had said, oh, you have to get the Hatch. It's the best thing ever. And so we're like, well, I mean, there's a review from someone right in front of us. So we looked into it a little bit more. I think we just added it to our registry and then did a little bit more looking. Do you remember they had like the first generation and the second generation? The lady there, she's like, go with the second one that had a, what do you call that? Like a rechargeable base?
Yeah, it's battery operated. So it doesn't have to be plugged in like the first gen one. You always had to have it plugged into a wall. This one, they advertise, it's supposed to have about 8 hours of battery. And the Hatch, if you don't know, it's a sound machine and it has a light. So you can have different shades of color in there. You can have it, you can set all sorts of like a strobe or a fade with it. You can do a whole bunch of different customizing for it. And we don't get super crazy with it. I mean, Carly's sleeping now that we're recording this and her little song is playing and we just have like an orange light on it is all. I mean, because you don't want something too bright. You don't want something too dim. And so there is a lot of features to it. And there's some features that we haven't even gotten into yet that I think as she gets older, we will. But, you know, back to that lady that was telling us, oh, you got to have one of those. What she liked about it is, at least at this point in time, it was like a $4 a month subscription that you paid for. And they put out like different stories and stuff like that, that it would you know, basically play at bedtime that she liked to do with her kid. Now, maybe you're one for reading books and stuff like that. That's okay. Maybe you don't need that feature. We don't pay for that premium feature either. Not yet anyway. We might try it at some point just to see how it is. That's more of a toddler feature, not a newborn feature, but definitely sound machines do help. Now, I will say we didn't use it when she was really sleeping with us a whole lot.
No, the only reason that I would use it was when I would get up to feed her in the middle of the night, change her diaper. We had presets. There's little things that you can set. And the first one was just a light, like a yellow white light. And I used that kind of as my night light to change her diaper so I could be able to see something without really disturbing you if you were still asleep. And that was the only thing we used at first. Now that she's in her room, we have the almost like a pre-bedtime song that goes on for 30 minutes. And after that, it switches to like white noise.
I think it's actually brown.
Okay, brown noise. Didn't know that was a thing until then. But now that she's into on and off, she is aware of her sound machine and she's excited to go to bed on. She'll say on. And I'm like, yeah, we'll go into your room and we'll turn it on. And she likes to look at it and hear it. And she's getting a little bit more fascinated with it now. But it does help soothe her and just kind of have that routine of, oh, my nighttime song's on. I need to start getting ready to go to sleep. It's time to go to bed. That, I think, is really helpful with her schedule and routine.
Yeah, and it's really easy to, I mean, you can hook it to your phone. You make all the presets on your phone. You can adjust how bright the light, how dim, how long does it do one of those things. And then it has a little metal touch ring on top. And what you do is you tap that ring and it will say preset one. You tap it again, two, three, I think three or four is all you can do. And then when you want to turn it off, you just tap and hold for about 2 seconds and it'll power down and say off. And then it just displays the time, which is also nice because when you're rocking your kid in the nursery, or you're waking up in the morning and you're trying to see, it's all dark in our room, trying to know what time you're feeding her and stuff, you can take a glance over there and look. It's got time displayed all the time as well.
That is very helpful. I've used that a lot.
So yeah, that's, like I said, there's probably a little more that we need to do with that. We're not at that child stage yet that we want to do those things. But overall, I will say we probably haven't gotten the travel out of it with the rechargeable base and the battery as much as we thought we would. We thought we'd take it on car rides. We thought we'd do things like that. It just ended up, it doesn't. But if we go somewhere and we stay, we always bring it.
On vacations, we take it. We want that routine with her, even when we're sleeping in a different place. We have taken, I think we just took it charged up to my parents or your parents if she was going to nap there. So we have that in place too. But yeah, we didn't really use it in the car like we thought we would or anything like that. But it is nice to know that, hey, if I need to take it and move it from her room to somewhere else for a little bit of time, we have that rechargeable battery operated feature if we need it.
Yeah, I think the most, like you said it earlier, the most we used it was when it was in the middle of the night and you used it as a flashlight. You can set it, you know, if you need to change a dirty diaper, you set it down right beside her. You can see some of that stuff rather than trying to hold a phone light or just turn the lights on. You could use that as kind of a little flashlight type deal.
So back to when we were really, really in the newborn stages and not using that a whole lot. One thing that we did use in more of the newborn stage and less as she got older was a little lounge pillow called the Snuggle Me. Actually, one of your cousins, Corey, had recommended it and said, she's like, our child loves this. She uses it daily. It's a must have. So we put it on our registry. We got one and it is the coolest little thing. It's just like a oval pillow that has kind of a dip in it in the middle where the baby would lay. And keeps them kind of, like the name says, Snuggle Me. It keeps them all kind of snuggled up. And you can throw it wherever you need to. You can lay it on the floor. You can lay it on the bed. You can lay it on the couch and have your baby safe there. If you have a toddler running around or anything like that, it's not someplace that she slept in overnight or for long periods of time. She did nap in it a little bit, not a ton. But it's just a nice little comfy place without having to lay them directly on the floor or on a blanket. And I think that just that snuggle feature when they're little tiny newborns, they like that little, it's not, I wouldn't say compression, just that little comfiness. They would like that and it's just soothing.
Yeah, and I know, you know, the more you read on it, you're not supposed to let them sleep in it. And we're not saying to let them sleep in it. That's not what it's used for. We got by with it once in a while. We tried to not do that, but sometimes, you know, she's sleeping and you got to get up and go do something real fast and come back. We would put her in it. I mean, when she was in that, she was not even looking at rolling over or anything like that.
No. And when she was sleeping in it, which again, it wasn't very often. It's not like we weren't around and watching her. They also come with covers for it that are washable. And your cousin had let us borrow some of they're almost like a pee pad. You would put that under in between the cover and the pillow to help if they had an accident to help not get it soaked through to the pillow.
Yeah, because in the middle, it is just cloth. You would just have the bottom side of that cover and the top side of that cover. The Snuggle Me, it's very thin in the middle. It's just a donut of a pillow, basically. So the middle of it, that's why they did that, because when we would put it on our couch, heaven forbid she had a blowout or something like that, you wouldn't get that on your couch or on the floor. It would at least stay contained inside that cover and that pad is, I think, the idea behind that.
And another reason I liked it was when they're newborns and they can't do a whole lot, if they're one that likes to be held, I would definitely try the Snuggle Me because they might like that as well. And instead of laying on the floor or being held all the time or put in a bouncer or a swing, it was a nice change of scenery, I feel like, for our daughter.
Speaking of a swing, we actually had two different swings. One that we did get on the registry was just kind of just a typical old swing, just swinging the baby back and forth, side to side, rocking it. And it did have a little bit of a vibration deal underneath of it to vibrate it. And it also had some, what would you call those?
Mobile?
Yeah, mobile. And so she could look at some of that stuff, you know, that's shaking around, things of that sort. It also played some tunes, I think. Usually classical music, if I remember right.
Yes.
There's a lot of classical music stuff. Just FYI, when you have a newborn, you're going to know Beethoven pretty good. Anyway, we had that one, and it was a good swing. It took up a lot of space, though. The bass of that was ginormous in our smaller house. I mean, it was big. You're talking probably 3 feet plus.
Yeah, and when they're swinging, when it's going side to side, it's not like that space is being used. You have to allot that amount of space of the bass for the swing.
She did like that swing. And then actually a coworker of mine actually gifted us a Mamaru.
Yes.
Yeah, he gifted us a Mamaru. And that was one where it wasn't one of the super fancy ones, and it probably wasn't the bottom of the line. I don't know what he paid for it. I don't even remember the model of it. It did a whole bunch of different little sways and rocks and things of that sort. It was kind of neat. But far as Carly liking one over the other, I don't think she really had a preference. Not like she slept in one better than the other, or one put her to sleep or entertained her more. I can't say. They both did their job.
They did. And I do feel like she wasn't a super swing girl. It's not like she didn't like them, but it's not like, you know, I hear some people like, oh, my baby only sleeps when they're in the swing. That wasn't her. She'd be in the swing for a little bit and then she'd start to fuss and like, all right, I'm ready to get out. So it'd be interesting with a different child if we can see if they have a preference of one or the other, because she didn't really mind either of them.
Yeah, just funny quick story. You remember the time where we wanted her to go to sleep, trying to rock her to go to sleep, and we're trying to get around to go somewhere, and I cranked that old girl up to 5 on that back and forth swinging one, and her eyes were big, and she was her head was almost up like, what is this thing?
Whoa. This thing, you got it moving.
It was like a roller coaster ride, but I'll never forget her face on that one. But yeah, going places, obviously, you're going to need a car seat of some sort. And this was another, we're going to spend some time on this one probably, because it was a very big decision. There is a lot of options. There's a lot of things to think about and how to use these things. You may not even know really where to start. We didn't know where to start. And I don't know if there is a right place to start. Narrow it down to about 2 or 3 of them and just start doing some pros and cons lists.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that had babies within the year or two before we had Carly. And I don't know why, I just took kind of a mental note. If I saw pictures on Facebook or anywhere with them in the car seat or the stroller, or if I saw them in person and I just kind of noted, I'm like, oh, you have a Graco. Oh, you have a Duna. Oh, you have a Chico. And not that one was better than the other, but it's nice to see people that you trust, what they use, and ask them why. Like, you can ask any of your friends, sisters, coworkers that have a child and say, hey, what kind of car seat or stroller did you get? Did you like it? Why? Just, it's nice to get that in-person feedback. So I feel like I was geared a little bit more towards the Chico because I had a lot of friends that did that, and it just looked like a good quality product. And then I was also debating on the Duna. So I feel like that was our battle, was the Chico or the Duna. And you see all these things like, oh my goodness, that Duna looks so, so handy. I don't need a separate stroller. It'll be nice to just click it out and go. We really did have a note list on our phone of pros and cons of each, because the Duna, even though it's handy, it weighs significantly more.
I think it's about 20 pounds without a kid in it.
Yeah, it weighed quite a bit more than the typical car seat because it does have the wheels and it does have the other things included in it. The thing with the Chico that we saw was it came as a stroller package combo. So it came with the car seat and the stroller base. Either way, we would have had a stroller, but then we kept looking into the Duna isn't really meant to be a stroller. You know, the wheels on it aren't meant to go on long walks all the time and through different terrains and stuff like that. It's just meant to be a kind of take them out and push them and go and fold it up and Is that kind of what you thought with the wheels?
Yeah, I think it was more for like short walks, you know, things that are outside in gravel, stuff like that. You're not really going to get a whole lot of pushing in a grass or a gravel scenario. But if you're doing things around concrete, asphalt, some hard surfaces, it'd be fine. The thing I remember of it is, yeah, that's nice, but just something simple as us, you know, living in a rural area, Walmart's a trip, right? You're going to Walmart, you're going to get stuff. If you were to do it alone when I was at work, how do you control a stroller, basically, and the shopping cart together? Now, granted, you could probably fold it up, put it in there, but the Chico that we got, we just set it down in there, pulled it in, and yeah, we carried it, but that's where you have to start weighing in your pros and cons and how are you actually going to use it? What is it going to kind of be like? And I'm not saying don't go with a Duna, go with the Chico. Just weigh it. I mean, Jordan definitely has a friend swears by that. And honestly, the way Carly grew up and how small she was for so long, and she still doesn't hardly weigh anything, we could have probably got by with it.
Yeah, my friend that has it and swears by the Duna, her son was little too, so she got a lot more use out of it than our other friend that their baby grew really fast, that they were almost outgrowing the weight limits of their Chico, to where if they did have a Duna, they probably wouldn't get as much use out of it because it's heavy. And if you've got a big baby, it's that much more weight on it. So don't get me wrong. I think that Duna has great features. My sister, she actually has a daughter and then twin boys. She was like, man, if I had that when I had my kids, that would have been so handy. Like one less car seat to carry. So there's definitely pros and cons. So I suggest make that note on your list. See what you would be using it for and go with that.
Yeah, I think my only standard of a car seat, if you can afford it, is get one with bases.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is a game changer. If you've got multiple vehicles you're going in and out of, just going in and out of, just say you have a shopping day. Let's say you're Christmas shopping. How many times you go in and out of that car, it's a click, shut the door. It's a lever pull, open the door. You know, it's so fast to where you don't have to unbuckle them and buckle them back in. I mean, the way Carly is now, it is buckling and unbuckling.
Yeah.
And she can't do it by herself either. So you're sitting there and it's 2-3 minutes sometimes to try to get her in there.
Depends on how willing she's being to.
Yes, yes. Now, obviously, a newborn isn't really going to care about it too much, but definitely have that base. And then, you know, if you're worried about the Chico and the stroller side of it, it snaps right into the stroller. That car seat will snap right into it. It acts as a base as well. So you transfer from the car straight to the stroller, take off, and away you go. So
I was pleasantly surprised with how easy that Chico stroller was. It is truly you can fold it up with one hand. You can push it down and put it into place with one hand. Yeah, the ability to just snap in the car seat and go, and then it has the insert once they get a little bit bigger and they can sit up. You can take that part out so that it is a true stroller. That was one of the other downfalls of the Duna, is they're only stuck looking one way. To where when your child wants to look around a little bit and they're bigger, you can take that part out, put the insert in so they can look like you are going down the road or the street or sidewalk, whatever.
I would say I did like pushing that better with the car seat. I feel like the weight was more balanced with it. And now that Carly, even though she's not really heavy yet, I don't enjoy pushing that as much. It is harder to turn. And I know she's heavier, but from a newborn standpoint, I love it. From a toddler standpoint, I don't like it as much.
If you're on asphalt or smooth, it's not as bad. But if you're going in and out of different grass and rocks and everything like that, it is trickier.
Yep.
I would go again. I would be fine having the Chico again.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Which, you know, we're bought into it now. We've got the bases and everything. So definitely going to continue to use that on our side. Probably the other big purchase that I do want to cover is something that we debated a lot and we used a lot of scenarios on, the dang baby monitor. you can go and you can get lost, because this was Jordan's one task of mine. She said, okay, I'm going to pick this stuff. You're picking the baby monitor, mainly because I'm the tech guy. I like gizmos and gadgets. Don't get me wrong. But she's like, you're going to be in charge of that. I said, all right. So finally, quite a ways down the road, you were hounding me a long time. Have you picked one yet? Have you picked one yet? Finally, I start looking online, and there is countless options out there. I mean, countless options, from old school to new school. You've got the Owlet, you've got Nanit, you've got
VTech,
and you can get overwhelmed pretty quick. Kind of how I started looking at it is, okay, what features did I really want? What features didn't I want? Did I need, you know, probably the one big thing that would separate apart is, do you want your own standalone monitor? And that narrows it down probably over half. If you want your own standalone monitor that has its own connection to that camera, then you're going to be limited. Obviously, Nanit's out for you. I don't think Owlet, at least at that point in time, made its own monitor. Those are kind of both phone-based. Anyway, that would narrow it if you can figure out which way you want to go with that. So after all the research, watching countless YouTube videos of how things work and those types of things, I wanted to go with a Nanit. I thought, yes, it is on the higher price of stuff. I mean, by our bundle, it was probably every bit of $200.
Oh, easily.
Probably $200 to $300 is what we spent on it. We got a little flex stand with it, and we got the normal big floor stand. I didn't want to mount anything on the wall because, heaven forbid, we changed rooms or we moved the crib around. I just didn't want to mess with that, so I kind of did the universal route with everything. Anyway, that was kind of the one that I wanted. If you've read on Nanit, it has a breathing strap that can go around the kid, and it'll tell you breaths per minute. And Owlet, I know, has a little sock cuff that goes around their foot, and it'll do heartbeat, it'll do oxygen levels, that type of stuff. And you read all sorts of comments. Some are like, oh man, like it just keeps giving me a heart attack because either they don't put it on tight or somehow the kid kicks it off and they wake up in a panic and they're doing just fine. So I didn't really want a whole lot of that stuff because you can just stay up all night and worry about it. I mean, and then obviously, you know, the people that bought that had all those issues, you paid a premium price and you don't even trust it at that point. Anyway, we could really get into weeds with all of that stuff, but really we settled on this and it was a battle to convince Jordan, actually, because Nanit doesn't have its own little monitor. And Jordan wanted her own little monitor. And she had that stuck in her head. And I'm just like, oh, but let's just try it. And they had a trial period on it. I think it was like 90 or 120 days, something like that. And so I'm like, let's just try it. Let's get it hooked up. Let's get it all activated. And let's just see how it works. So finally, she agreed to it. Pulling some teeth.
I wanted to be able to have the monitor sitting next to our bed and not being my phone. Because, yes, I do charge my phone every night. But I have to have it plugged in to have the battery for it to be coming through. Because it's constantly on my phone. My phone is essentially unlocked at night. There's a feature on there that keeps it so like I can touch the screen. It's always on my screen. It's not like my screen goes black. But say I got a text or an email or something else while I'm sleeping, you know, normally you could wake up and you can look at your notifications on your phone. I can't do that because my phone's unlocked. So I'm getting those notifications, but they're not on my notification screen. So that part I was a little bit leery on, of just having to have it be my phone and my having to have my phone plugged in all the time versus just having the trusty little monitor that you either charge like with a cord or with batteries or whatever. And it took some convincing from you, but I was like, whatever, you know what? You finally picked out something. Okay, let's try it. Honestly, the thing that made me kind of say, okay, let's get it, was I had a baby shower at my work, and I'm very blessed to have monetary donations. And we used that for the Nana. It wasn't something that we put on a registry. I felt kind of awkward doing it just because it was significantly more expensive than any other normal monitor. But we got it. We tried it. I like it. When the outlet came out, I was like, oh, I got to have that. That looks great. But the more I thought about it and the more that you kind of talked to me, it's like, Jordan, you would be up all night looking at that, freaking out about one little thing. The Nana, like we said, has the breathing band. We still use that today. And it just monitors her breaths per minute. It's not like I fixate on it or anything, but I just make sure it's like my little bedtime routine that I look at the monitor, see how she's doing, see that it's actually picking up her breaths per minute, and then I go to sleep. Now it does ding some really loud, obnoxious ding if it doesn't recognize her breathing.
Yeah, but you normally, so it is supposed to alert you. You're supposed to have a big alarm on it that's really loud. It's never went off. What you're talking about is, so the bands that you get, as you wash those and as they stretch, you know, because you're stretching them, they start rolling up and they start bunching up sometimes when she sleeps. And so it can't recognize that band is there. And so then it's like, hey, I can't find it. And then when you basically dismiss that message, it takes it out of that breathing mode. And yes, it makes an alarm on your phone. It's just a chime. It's not really an alarm. It's a chime. But it does chime the Nana in the crib. And some other features of it, you can talk through it. So you can say, you know, get back to bed or shush or whatever. So you can talk through it. It has a light on the backside, which actually shines up against the wall and kind of the ceiling, depending on how you have it mounted. It's not a really bright light, but it's just a nice little moonlight. You know, if maybe your kid wants it a little lighter and maybe you don't have the hatch, you could get by with that probably. You can turn that on and off from your phone. Jordan talked about the nighttime where, yes, it dims her phone to where it's not bright and it's not in your face, but you can tap it and it'll brighten right up. Another thing that it has is if you don't even want that, you can just turn on background sound. And so it'll just play the sound of the monitor all the time.
Yeah, that's what I usually do during nap time is I don't have the breathing band on. I turn the background noise on. My phone can be locked. I could be on Facebook, on Snapchat, on anywhere, and that noise is continuously going in the background. So with that, that made me a little bit more ease of like, okay, it is like I'm carrying a monitor around that I was okay with giving it a shot. And I like it. Now that we have it, I like it. I would buy it again. It's the only thing I feel like is a little bit of a downfall is when we have to go to a hotel. We have the flex stand, but Corey, you explain why, because you're the techie person, why it doesn't work.
Yeah, basically, it's not going to hook up to like a hotel Wi-Fi where you have to put in your room number or a password. It works with more like a normal, like a router setting. Now, when we went to Florida, it had a normal router where it was a Wi-Fi and a password. It works fine with those. Now, some people are really worried about things getting hacked and stuff like that. We're out here in rural America, not saying we would get hacked of such, but we don't use the generic passwords. We make really good passwords, that type of stuff. That wasn't something I was ever really worried about, I guess. Maybe we should be, but me, I was not worried about that. Now, one last thing to kind of talk about this, and I feel like we got to tell you guys, because we weren't necessarily caught off guard, but some features of that app. We didn't use all the features. Jordan talked in her breastfeeding one. She had her own breastfeeding app. This has it all built into it. You can tell, we need to do a diaper change, or, you know, you can tell it why it's out of the crib. But the one thing we do kind of like is it gives you a weekly statistics of how long did she sleep? How many visits per night? What's her average breath per minute? Different types of things. Like, what was her longest stretch of sleep without waking up? So those types of things we do like. And also, we wanted some video history of it, because there's some times where we've went back and looked at her and that type of stuff. Those are a monthly/yearly subscription. You get either or with that. Now, there's different levels, and we don't pay for the highest level one. We have the middle tiered one. It's probably $50 to $70. I can't remember exactly what it is. We buy the annual one because it's cheaper and you're gonna use it for a year. I'm sure the outlet has the same thing, but those types of baby monitors do have a subscription if you want some advanced features. And basically we wanted it so we could go back and look. Now maybe you have somebody like a babysitter or a mom coming over. One last feature to talk about is you can share that camera with whomever you want. And so like, I remember my mom came over one time to watch her while we were doing something. We had left. And so I gave my mom permission and she downloaded the app. And basically I could say, you have permission for a baby camera, but only when you're on our house Wi-Fi. So like she can't go home and look at it or anything like that. So whenever she comes here, she has access to that camera. You can say, okay, you can have access to it anytime. Now, one thing I would say that I liked about it, being gone all the time working, if you're in the middle of a meeting and it's a daunting day and you know it's nap time, you can just get on there and you can just watch her sleep. And sometimes you just sit there and watch her for a minute or two. It just kind of give you a little pep in your step and away you went. I did like that a lot. You could tell when nap time was and she'd have all sorts of different little sleeping positions that were cute and those types of things. But just from a dad standpoint or even a mom standpoint, if you're gone sometimes or if you know maybe you guys are taking a vacation or something, you can always look at them when they're sleeping too. And it just kind of takes you back to home again.
Yeah, you would do that when you were gone on work trips too, I know. And I have a trip coming up in the near future. I'm just kind of thinking about being away from her because I've never been away from her. I'm like, oh, I can at least look at the camera from states away and see, oh, yep, she's in bed. She's been asleep till then. She woke up. And it is a nice feature that you can go back and look at things.
One last little small one that we're going to talk about, and most of you probably don't think this is a big deal, but the more we think about it, the more we think it's a big deal. And it don't cost you an arm and a leg. It's not a $200-$300 product, but it is a butt paste paddle.
Oh, game changer for sure.
Something as simple as that. I mean, we had some friends that were talking about, they were having their baby and they were returning some baby products and they're like, oh yeah, they had like this butt paste paddle. You just put it on there with your finger. Like what do you need that for? And we're like, we love that. You don't have to try to get that stuff off your hands. You don't have to deal with that every single time.
And for me, I'm not opposed to using my fingers to put the paste on, but I have fingernails. You, Corey, don't have very long fingernails, and I don't want that cream getting stuck underneath my nails every single time. Or I have to go and get a wipe and wipe it off or go wash my hands every time. So the paddle is wonderful. You can just wipe it off with a wipe. I've been wiping it off on her clean diaper because it's in the same area that the paste is on anyway. That has been wonderful.
And I think it saves a lot of product.
Oh, too. Definitely.
And I know butt cream isn't super expensive, but I think it does save a lot of product.
It does. And speaking of the butt cream, we've had like probably four different kinds. And when you're a new mom and you're trying to register products, it's kind of hard to think like, okay, which one do I need? There's this one that starts with a B, there's Desitin, there's all sorts of different name brands and you don't know what you want. The one that the pediatrician's office recommended and one of my coworkers had recommended was Resinol. And that I'm not going to get any other type of cream besides that. It seems to work the best, to be the strongest, take away that rash the quickest. And so I would highly recommend the Resinol with the paddle too.
Yeah, sometimes those little itty bitty things are just little golden nuggets that you don't think that they're a big deal until you start thinking about it. And then, yeah, it is a big deal. So with that is where we're going to end our newborn product list. If we missed anything, please shoot us a comment and say, hey, I'd like to know, what did you decide on this? Or have you bought one of these yet? That type of stuff. Other than that, we're going to end it there.
See you next time.
you for listening to Parenting in Progress. If you like what you heard and you're listening to us on YouTube, please go ahead, like, share, subscribe, drop a comment. If you're listening to us on other platforms, go ahead, give us a follow and a rating. We truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next one.